It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon. Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, I think the toughest game left on their schedule is this week. And that's not to say best team. It's different, right? Home, road. And then Maz, I do have this thing that if you've had success, and I should have paid closer attention to this with the Baltimore game, but if you've had success against the Patriots in the past, I'll give you, you know, a little bit more respect and a little bit more of a chance, because I think you've gotten over that mental hurdle of beating the Patriots, which is a big part of it, I think. A lot of these teams come in already defeated. And if you've beaten them and had success against them in the past, I think that that is a big, that's a big factor. Not, you know, not that it decides everything, but it, at least Doug Peterson won't go in there with his sphincter tight and, you know, all worried about going up against Bill Belichick. And I think that's a big thing for Philly. They're coming off their bye as well. It's home. They can run and pass. I don't know. I think this is the week. And I'm not telling you that they're the best team left on your schedule, although they might be, but that's not what I'm, it's the spot. On the road, they're coming off a bye. They've beaten you before, et cetera, et cetera. If the Pats were still undefeated, I'd feel differently. Now that they've lost one, I feel they're going to drop one more, maybe two, maybe a throwaway game at the end of the year that they don't need. But if they were still undefeated, I'd treat it differently. But now that they've had a loss, I don't know. I feel like they might be headed for another one. And to me, it feels like a road game is going to be it, because they've had trouble on the road the last couple of years. They've been perfect at home the last couple of years, so I don't see them losing at home. I don't see them losing at home to Jason Garrett. I don't see them losing at home to Kansas City that can't play defense. It's going to be a road game. So is it going to be this one or at Bill O'Brien, who you're 5-0 against and has that exact thing I'm talking about? Wets himself every time he sees his former boss. So this is the week.
Yeah, I mean, to me, look, I respect Philly. I think Philly's had a good operation here the last few years. And so
they're a big game team too.
Yeah, they are. Now look, what game was it that they played not too long, where they got the one down in Dallas, right? They got obliterated.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, is that wildly out of character for that team? And then I think it was the week after they went, I don't remember, but one of those games they went back on the road and they won. And I thought, okay, well, they bounced back. And so now they're coming off a bye. It feels like they're starting to put it together a little bit. And I don't know. I don't think it's I don't think it's a great matchup for the Patriots. If you were asking me objectively, I'd pick Philly this week. I just think that, you know, the Patriots, they're both coming out of byes, so there's no advantage there for the Patriots.
Exactly.
And I think that Philly's got a lot of things to throw at you. Defensively, they're not what they were.
So the game you're talking about is they went to Buffalo and blew out the Bills.
Okay,
after
that's
losing
what it was.
That Cowboys game.
So that was my recollection, that it was in Buffalo. But I just think the Eagles they're well coached. They got a gutsy quarterback, maybe too much so. He gets himself hurt. The one thing I worry about with Philly, but it may work in their favor in this game, is that they haven't been able to throw the ball down the field at all. You know, they had DeSean Jackson early in the year. He got hurt. And so, you know, the defense have really been able to pinch in on him. But against the Patriots, that might be a benefit because it might take the Patriots' corners out of the game.
I'm going with Houston, and I know what the record of Bill O'Brien is against the Patriots, and he craps his pants every single time. But it's more about Deshaun Watson and the level he's playing at. That's tough, I think, in terms of where that game is, that Sunday night in a few weeks. I could see them winning their next couple of games and being, you know, 6-3, well, whatever it would be at that point, maybe 9-3, whatever, going into that game. I still think it's that game. This Eagles team this year, and I know they've had late season magic the last couple of seasons with Peterson, but it's been with Nick Foles because, you know, Wentz has gotten himself hurt the last couple of years. And Doug Peterson, what he did the last time to this team, he had a couple of weeks to prepare, was obviously, you know, ultimately came to a loss in that Super Bowl. So I give him some credit there. And same with Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator. They're just not that good this year. They're not. And you mentioned the receivers, Maz. They just had to bring in Jordan Matthews.
I know they did, yeah.
Because it's nonstop fumbles, drop passes, overall lack of production. And you look at him, you're like, well, how does that happen with Nelson Aguilar? And, you know, they have names there. Those guys have just been terrible this year.
Yeah, Jeffrey in particular.
Right, Alshon Jeffrey. He looks like a million years old.
Yeah, million. But it's part of the reason they brought Jackson in, right? They needed to, you know, stretch the field, as you like to say. But I also think that it's Ertz, it's Goedert, the two backs and tight ends. You know, from that standpoint, it's a good matchup for Philly. That's where you want to attack the Patriots. You want to attack their linebackers and their safeties in coverage. Like, that's the way to do it. Now, I don't know. Can Bill drop some sort of wrinkle there? Do you put Gilmore and Ertz or whatever?
How does Philly run the ball?
So, Howard, they got a power back in Jordan Howard that they got from the Bears, who has been really good for him this year. And they drafted a kid out of Penn State who was the backup to Saquon Barkley when he was there. His name is Miles Sanders. He's more of a speed back, but he's been great in the passing game. So, you know, they kind of have both. And again, then the two tight ends, like, there's a lot to defend there.
So, I mean, are they going 15-1?
Who, the Patriots?
Are they going 15-1?
I doubt it.
No. Okay, so there's a loss coming.
I mean, I could see 13-3, like you said, because there's a throwaway.
Okay, so I'm not counting week 17. They don't need the game, and they play Stidham for three quarters. Like, that might happen.
Yeah.
But I think they, you know, I said going into the stretch, at most they lose two. At most. And so if there's a second loss, where is it? You know, maybe it is. Maybe they do get through this clean and the other law. And maybe there is no other law. I mean, it's predicting football games is hard. It's stupid. But I think this is their toughest spot.
On paper, it's the toughest game they have left.
Yeah, I think.
Houston might be more balanced than Philly is.
Coaching. But coaching's part of this.
And Houston doesn't have the balls that this team
exactly
does.
Right. Exactly. This team has balls. Yep. And they still might not be good enough to beat you. But if you ask me the toughest spot, I think this is it. All right. So your thoughts on this. The Celtics, whatever you want. NFL thoughts all the way through. Here we go. Back to you. Here's Paul in the car on the Celts. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, difference between last year and this year was Saturday night. They got down by 7. Brad didn't have to call a timeout to get their head back in the game. Last year, they probably would have just thrown the game and just said, forget it, it's not our night. And when's that game in Boston against the Nets? Because I guarantee Kyrie won't play.
It's Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Wednesday, whatever that date
27th.
Is. 27th. So that's that.
Caller's right, though. I wouldn't rule that out.
This Kyrie show?
Well, he used to take no-shows in Cleveland, right?
All the time.
I mean, it would be just like him to take a powder.
The only one he ever played there was the game that Hayward got hurt. That was it.
I mean, I would not rule him out skipping that.
Of course not.
Of course, Celtics fans would probably cheer him the way that they go, for crying out loud. They should boo his ass.
I don't think so, Maz.
Well, I don't know. You put it past them?
Maz. That's going to be a bloodbath. They show him once, even if he's not playing, and he's just in civilian clothes.
I don't know. They cheer every... Who's the last?
No, they don't do this.
Who's the last former Celtic they cheered and booed?
The last former... Well, but the Bridgies don't count. They like the Bridgies. They celebrate the Bridgies.
Okay. I'm just telling you, Celtics fans are a kinder, gentler lot.
They're not that kind of
gentle. They'd be exactly the kind of fan base that would let someone take a dump in their arena and then cheer him when he came back.
Ty in Jamaica playing. Go ahead on the NFL.
Hello?
Hello. You're on the air, Ty.
Yeah, my fault, bro. I wanted to talk about Lamar Jackson. See, the thing is, I think he can pass. I've been watching him since Louisville. And the thing that's different, guys, that I think where he's very different is look at how soft the NFL is right now, and that's why I think that he can last. Because his scrambling ability, he's not going to take those hits that all of the former guys before him, like Vic and all the Kaepernicks and all those other guys did. I think with all of those penalties and all the BS and everything that went before, Lamar's smooth, and he's going to duck and dodge. That's the thing. I think with us, with the Patriots, of course, with Bill, if he does make it, I think one of them, like Casey or somebody, whoever gets that divisional round or who they, that's, you know, who's going to probably knock him off. And hopefully we don't get to see him. But if we do, we're going to take care of him.
Okay, Ty, I just, on that thing about Lamar Jackson surviving because it's a different NFL, it's better. I mean, I'm still not betting on Lamar Jackson or that type of quarterback taking over the league. I'm selling on that. But if he's going to make it physically, it's better. It's more set up for him now than it's ever been. Like back in Robert Griffin's day, they could slide to avoid contact.
Sure,
right?
Of course. Griffin's thing. Remember, he had the existing knee injury, and he played with a brace, and they sent him out there, and then he blew it out. So you know, there was like.
But what new rule is there since Robert Griffin? When did the landing on the quarterback thing is new? Like the Rodgers penalty that he got yesterday. That's new since Robert Griffin's time, I believe.
Don't you think, though, I would say, I don't know that there's a specific rule, but don't you feel like the quarterback running now is treated differently than he's ever been treated before?
Yeah.
In other words, even if he's not sliding, if you light him up, you get a penalty.
No, you got to slide.
I'm not convinced of that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not telling you that I can give you deliberate, you know, clear evidence of a single play that illustrates it. I'm just telling you that I think the league is softer.
No, no, tell that to Cam Newton.
For sure it's softer. No question. No question.
So I think if someone really lines him up near the sideline, you're going to get a flag.
The league is softer and quarterbacks are going down like flies. How many backup quarterbacks have we seen this year?
A ton.
A ton.
And a lot of them have played well.
So you tell me. So that's a different story, though. But the point is, you know, it's a kinder, gentler NFL, sure, and it should be easier on Lamar Jackson to stay healthy. How come no one can seem to stay healthy? How come it's never, the quarterback's never been more protected and they never seem to get hurt more than they have this
year? Okay, well, a couple of them are fluky. I say fluky, but they're non-contact. Roethlisberger blew out his elbow. Breeze sprained his thumb or tore ligaments in his thumb. I'd have to think of the others to go through the specifics. But I just think that play yesterday, that run by Jackson, which was a sensational run. Okay, terrific run.
One where he spun and ran up the middle.
I mean, the spin move was unbelievable. It was a, you know, he looked like a running back or an elite receiver in the open field. But I also wonder on a play like that, if guys in the secondary are looking saying, I can't light this guy up because he'll be considered a defenseless or something.
Oh, I think that the defenses, for sure, Maz, absolutely, are afraid to hit a quarterback because if he goes into the slide at the last minute, you've exposed yourself to et cetera. I totally agree with that.
I mean, so, you know, you're aiming to grab him around the waist. You're not diving at his knees. Like, and a guy like him can spin his way right down the field and run in the end zone. And, you know, if Steve Young had done that, he'd gotten blown up.
Okay, back to your phones. On the state of the NFL and the landscape around the NFL and the Patriots coming back off their bye and the Gordon Hayward injury to you right after this.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Empty backfield for Lamar Jackson. Bengals bring an all-out blitz. Jackson steps up. Hit as he throws. He's got Hollywood Brown in the end zone. Touchdown, Hollywood! And Lamar Jackson delivers again. Let's not even mess around with it. With 5:13 left to play in the third quarter, the Hayes in the barn.
Lamar Jackson highlight for you. Back to your phones. As promised, Steve in Warwick, Rhode Island. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What do you got?
So the league is definitely soft, in my opinion. I mean, players are scared to get fined. I mean, just watching the Ravens game yesterday against the Bengals, I remember whenever there was a speed option ran, and they ran it probably about three or four times, nobody even licked Lamar Jackson. They had a free shot at him every single time, and nobody even took a shot.
You could also factor in the fact the Bengals suck, but I mean, fine. Yes, the NFL's softer. Lamar Jackson's not going to make it. I mean, that's just my prediction. That's just what I think. I think he's not going to make it either physically and or maybe both, one or the other. He's not going to make it physically, or he's not going to make it unless he stays in the pocket and can go 7 of 8 down the field on short and intermediate throws and be accurate for 60 minutes, 16 weeks a year. He's not going to make it in one of those two areas, if not both.
I mean, that's the thing, is ultimately you think he's going to get drilled. And I wonder, too, if maybe that happens in the playoffs. You know, the regular season that, you know, you get a lot of teams that aren't playing for anything, and you say, fine, they let it go. But in the postseason, they run the option, and someone absolutely freaking hits them under the chin.
Murray made a good point. Randall Cunningham did it. We're like, ooh, my God, the position's changing. Look out. New face of the NFL. This is the new way to play the position. Then, you know, Robert Griffin does it. They're like, oh, here it comes. Nope. And then Colin Kaepernick. Nope. It ain't going to be. Or, you know, I like Tim Tebow. Nope. I mean, just name it. This type of quarterback has not lasted in the NFL ever. So if this guy does, he'll be the first. So I'm going to bet against it. And I took the cheese on the last time. I was in on Robert Griffin. I was in on Colin Kaepernick. I thought that was changing the league, and it was changing it, and that would happen. I was for that player the last cycle through, and it didn't happen. If it didn't happen then, it ain't happening now.
Do you count Russell Wilson?
No.
Why not?
Because I think he's more of a passer, and I think that he scrambles to throw. And I've said this to you.
Did you think he was that 3 years ago?
Yep. I watched him at Wisconsin, buddy. So this is one guy I can tell you about how he played at college. One of the few. He did. He played that way at Wisconsin. He wasn't running around like a jackass. He would buy time in the backfield and then chuck it down the field, just like he does now. He threw a beautiful deep ball there, too. So Russell Wilson was not that player when he came in.
Okay, but I remember you saying about Wilson that he's the kind of guy that you don't know if he can carry the offense from the pocket.
And I still don't from the pocket, but he's right, not exactly from the pocket. And you'll see it even,
I mean,
now.
Would you agree that he's at least closer to that kind of quarterback?
I think him and Dak Prescott are more than the same than Russell Wilson is to Lamar Jackson.
But you watch him a lot, Maz. I mean, he plays like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, he doesn't run around like a lunatic.
But he does shift around. What I'm saying is he doesn't just sit in the pocket, and neither does Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers is constantly slipping and sliding and feeling pressure and going out on one of the flanks and rolling to his right and throwing.
They kind of do it with Daniel Jones with the Giants.
Well, but I'm just saying I don't think Aaron Rodgers is a pure pocket passer, but he's a passer. He's a pure passer. And I think Russell Wilson is a pure passer, not as good as Aaron Rodgers and a little more dependent on his legs, but is at least on that side of the line. Lamar Jackson, I don't think, can play that way.
I mean, Jackson's still run first.
He's going to take off.
Yeah, he's still run first. He's not a guy who, when in trouble, can run, which I hear you. I think that's what Wilson is, that under duress or in a pinch, he can take off.
3rd and 7, there's 8 yards to the sticks. Russell Wilson will go run for it. So will Rodgers. But he won't do that in the first quarter. And he won't do that if you don't on first down or second down. It's situational. I think Lamar Jackson just takes off. They designed quarterback keepers, for crying out loud.
Yeah, no, he's a run first guy. I mean, I'm just saying, I wonder if he can evolve into something else. He's different.
I think the windup's too big. You know, Russell Wilson has a nice little delivery. Like, he, you know, that's Lamar Jackson's got this big posy, big.
It looked better yesterday. Again, it was Cincinnati. Okay, it was Cincinnati. But I don't know, you know, they got they flashed Kubiak up there during the game. He's a consultant with them now. They got Jackson throwing on the run a little bit more, rolling out. Like,
you're buying in on Lamar Jackson. Fine.
I'm just telling you that yesterday he threw an accurate ball.
Ain't going to make it. Tim and Bill Ricca on the Hayward injury. Yes, Tim.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Maz, what you said earlier about Celtics fans don't boo anybody. We haven't had anybody to boo. Are we going to boo Evan Turner, Kelly Olynyk, Jeff Green, other
you should boo Olynyk
in the league?
You should boo Olynyk. That's stiff.
Oh, nobody cares about Olynyk. Even if he deserves the boo, we don't care enough to boo. Kyrie Irving coming in here the day before Thanksgiving to boo him. It's the first chance we've had since Ray Allen, I think, is the last
Ray
guy.
Allen.
Really,
yeah, did you boo him? Did he get booed?
Yes, he did. He did.
Did he?
Yes.
No, I don't remember that.
He did.
Yeah, I want to hear the audio.
Go ahead, Tim. Don't listen
okay
to him.
Okay. Well, it's fine. But I think that the Olynyk, the Gordon Hayward injury is actually a bigger deal than people are making out, because these November wins is really what determines seeding later on. You need these early easy wins to help you be a 2 seed instead of a 3 seed, or a 3 instead of a 4, to get you that better matchup in the playoffs, to get you that first series home advantage.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I think that it's really important, and I think people are kind of overblowing it because, like, oh, it's, we're green teamers. It's the Celtics. They'll figure it out. Brad bots, like Murray says. But no, I think this is a big deal.
Okay, I think it's a big deal, too. I just think you're still going to win these games. Maybe not by as much. It's not going to be as pretty. The ball's not going to move as well without Gordon Hayward out there, so you're not going to be as good, but so the margin shrinks. Or, you know, even Maz, who hates you, hates the Celtics this year. Had him going 15-7 in the next 22 without him.
It's a manipulation of the facts. A
little bit. But even looking at it negatively, even looking at, I don't mean that, Maz, I mean critically. You know,
objectively.
Looking at it harshly, Maz had him at 15-7. So that's at worst. And I think it's going to be better than that. I think you're still going to win most of these games. And I do agree the seedings are important because you want home games in the playoffs, period. The question is, what's the ceiling when he comes back? Is he the same guy? Is he going to look the same way that he did in the first month of the year? Because he was terrific.
Yeah. My question, again, is not how they're going to fare against average and below average competition. It's against elite competition. I think eventually they're going to run into a wall.
But if we're being honest, Maz had movement over the weekend. Did you not?
I might have been wrong on the regular season total. I'm not changing my mind on the playoffs.
Over under 49.5 wins.
I'm still under, but I'm getting closer.
You see, again, there is some creaking there. The rust is being nice. You get some slight take grinding over there, grinding of take gears over there.
I think it's already too late for an annulment, so I'm sticking with this one.
John and Melrose for Maz.
I was gonna say, was that all natural, or did he take a pill? He said he had some movement. But question about the big gym. I'm a Melrose guy. You ever still hang out in the area? You just chewing screwed when you're at the radio.
No, I live there again.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's unfortunate.
No, can we do this some other time, please? Call him on the off-air show. All right, or the Twitter machine, whatever.
Yeah, Murray, maybe we can go to the Melrose House of Pizza.
Jasper in the car on the Patriots. Hi, Jasper.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Love the show. Real quick. I know that you guys said that the Eagles is probably going to be the Pats' most difficult game for the rest of the year. So I was wondering, let's say that they do pull it off. They win against the Eagles coming off the bye. Who then do you think would, since everybody said that they weren't going to go 15-1, who do you think would be the next toughest opponent after the Eagles if we were to win?
So
I'll hang up and listen to you guys, but thank you for everything. I appreciate it.
Okay, babe. Houston? You know, Dallas is still talented, but they can't put it together. Their coach is a complete imbecile.
Houston.
So,
because at least Houston has some of the elements that could give you some difficulty. And when I say that, I mean, again, they have a running attack. They have some weapons in the passing game.
And Watson's having an MVP-type year. That's the game that I look at. It's tougher than this one this weekend. I do.
I just think that team's sackless.
Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the end of the day, I think they're sackless. Look, the quarterback to me has got balls. You know, I don't know how accurate he is, but he's got balls. He'll make plays. He'll take gambles, sometimes wrongfully so. But I just don't, after seeing O'Brien up here, and I'm a big O'Brien guy, or at least I was, after seeing it up here and the way that thing is, you know, how he's performed against the Patriots, with the sole exception of that one year they came in here, and their defense did a pretty good job on Brady, and they lost by 2 touchdowns in the divisional playoffs. With the exception of that, I think he's wet himself every time he's going against Bill.
Joe in the car, what do you got for us, Joe?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, Joe.
Hey, before I get in my Gordon Hayward take, can we just thank Danny Ainge for not re-signing Terry Rozier? I mean, I've been watching that guy, and Maz, he sucks.
And blows.
Blows. He sucks and he blows. All right. So Gordon Hayward, the issue last year was not the ankle. It was Kyrie, because we have the same – this is the player that we've been watching this year is a guy we thought we were going to get. Last year – no one played well, and it was Kyrie. And I'm going to leave you with this. The fact that Kyrie had his post-game press conferences last year, I'm so glad that I don't have to listen to those anymore because they were horrible.
Well, that's true. Maz, do you think that Gordon Hayward was held back last, or the reason Gordon Hayward looked the way he looked was because of Kyrie Irving?
I mean, I think it was a factor. Yeah, I do. Now, again, the big one was the injury, so I don't want to say exclusively. But do you remember that there was that little stretch late in the year where they started running the offense through Hayward and all of a sudden everything looked better? The team looked better. Yeah, Hayward looked better. So I just think that it was part of it. Like, I think that, and Hayward made a comment earlier in the year where he said, you know, we're doing things now that allow me to use my talents better.
Yeah.
Or the way we're running it now. Something light, I'm paraphrasing. But I think it's his way of saying I had to defer to Kyrie because he was such a bud. We had to run the whole thing through him and he was a complete pain in the ass. And we all had to defer to Kyrie, similar to what the Marcus Morris comments were. And then now that he's gone, they all know that Hayward's more of a, you know, team guy and will distribute and he's a senior guy and they've deferred. So I think it is. I think that's part of it. Yes.
Sounds like someone's coming around, Murray. Someone's coming around just a little bit. He wants to.
He's a Kemba jersey.
Yep.
Oh, please.
Just a little bit.
No, well, Isaiah 2.0.
He's just calling it for what it is, and it's going to run counter to his take going into the year. So he's going to come to a take crossroads here coming up pretty soon.
I think I'm already there. I told you. That's in the regular season, I might have been wrong. Whoopty freaking do. They'll still get bounced in the second round.
That's where you sell your soul to the devil, the take crossroads.
But nothing like what's going on with Robert Williams and Mason Souza and the Time Lord. We'll get back to that after Murray's update here. Don't go anywhere.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Aldridge against Robert Williams. Nothing there. Gives it up to Forbes. Forbes, five on the shot clock. His three. Blocked by Robert Williams, and he chases down a loose ball. Cross court, Wanamaker, touch pass for Javonte Green. Right hand slam that might be the signature play of a spectacular defense to offense day for the Boston Celtics.
And so the Young will lead
115-96.
Speaking of take movement, just. Maz was impressed with Robert Williams over the weekend, but not as impressed as our Mason Souza.
Oh, God, please don't put me in the same breath as him.
You come off that Mason yet?
Hell no. It is stronger than ever.
And what is it? Just give me your thought again, please.
Well, to revisit, it was what, July? Don't? Oh, you already scoffed.
Go.
I'll tell you. A couple months ago, I was saying he will be as equivalent to Rudy Gobert is right now, back-to-back defender of the year. I am the most confident in that than anything in my life. He will be a multiple defender, defensive player of the year. Not only that, I believe he's on his way in the next, let's say, 3 or 4 years to being Dikembe Mutombo status. And beyond that, developing an offensive game. He gets the ball at the top of the key, getting ready for a massive alley-oop jam, which he does so well. I think his next step offensively is to drive on a big man, maybe a little baby hook in the paint, and become Hakeem Olajuwon.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Yeah. There you go.
We're looking for the money line.
I was building towards it. Yes.
Yeah, building towards Hakeem Olajuwon. So you're still on that.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Okay. Maz, your thoughts?
You're delusional. Seriously, I don't know. Mason, I guess we're going to have to make sure you don't come back for another 6 months for crying out loud with those kinds of takes. Holy crap. Hakeem Olajuwon. Now, look, defensively, I liked what I saw from Williams in that game. How could you not? Six blocks and two or three of them were on him coming out to defend jumpers where guys just cannot read the space between themselves and Williams because of his arms. So that the one we played as a rejoin, that highlight you just heard, was him coming out, contesting a three, deflecting the ball, running up the floor, grabbing the loose ball, and making a good pass that led to a dunk. I mean, he was absolutely freaking awesome. Now, it was at the end of the game, and it was a blowout. But the Celtics have not had that kind of athleticism from a big man for, I don't know, since Garnett.
See? Look, listen to you. You just put him and Garnett in the same breath?
Yeah, but no.
Sousa's really. Got him with Hakeem the Dream, and you've got him with Garnett? Put it all in your pants. How about Max? Talk about Max. If it lasts longer than 4 hours, seek medical. I literally think Max took it out on this alley-oop dunk. Did you hear this play-by-play we played before?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Marcus Smart. Push pass for Robert Williams straight away up top. Makes the handoff, moves it right side, attacking Green. Left it for Robert Williams, who jumps out of the gym, throws it down hard with two hands, scored that, and the foul.
Oh, that was grandma's old cookie recipe. Oh, put sugar, and then molasses on it.
Robert Williams is 5 for 5, and they haven't been far from the basket, but they've been far above the basket.
Ooh. Man, he is elevating like.
He has elevated his game literally here today. 109-93.
That's not the only thing that's elevating in this studio between you two. Seriously. Yeah,
I'm not elevating anything. Actually, I think Granny and Max were elevating, though. Seriously, the broadcast desk popping off the ground over there?
Oh, my
or what?
God. When that dunk first went through, did he?
He overmodulated.
Did he overmodulate that microphone, Billy? You hear that again, if you don't mind, please? No, he's not even listening. That's okay.
Max has all the right to. I mean, he's seen KG. He's been around. He's seen some stuff.
Oh, settle down.
For him to go berserk like that, oh, man. KG, he knows this guy is something special.
KG and Olajuwon were offensively elite centers. And again, they were different, right? Olajuwon played near the basket. Garnett played away from it. But offensively, they were elite centers. Defensively is where this guy's magic is. It's on that end of the floor. I don't know if he can make a freaking free throw. He's got him compared to Olajuwon.
Free throws, they're all alley-oops.
Green lifts it for Robert Williams, who jumps out of the gym, throws it down hard with two hands, scored that, and the foul.
Oh.
All right, Max. All right, settle down. Between him and Sousa.
Yeah, it's all very premature.
Team Olajuwon, all very premature.
Premature analysis.
For Robert Williams.
Everything else.
And they could have. He was good Saturday. They could have something with this kid. He's gone from raw and kind of interesting to looking like he could be Mason. Could a real rotational big? Could
that's what you call premature?
There's nothing premature about that. Those six blocks were Mason. In 22 minutes. Listen, that is just the beginning.
Oh, he's a shot blocker.
He will have multiple triple double games with points, rebounds, and blocks just this season.
And fouls.
Premature articulation is what we call it here on the program.
Yup.
Back to your calls. Here's Jim in the car on the Hayward injury. Yes, Jim.
Hey, guys. I was just happy Veterans Day. I was working today all day, so I didn't get a good take on what might have been going on, what you guys have been talking about with Hayward. But I have an elite take on not only that.
Jim, give me your elite take, please.
If you don't mind saying
yes.
Hold on, because I don't want to leave you guys out. Hey, Mike and Tony, can we get together at Bubs? At Buff's Pub for some chicken wings. Murray, never tell anybody where you live. Anyway, the thing with Gordon Hayward is, and thank you, Tony, for sending that tweet out, because I saw that. I caught that over the weekend. I took the bye week off, but I caught that over the weekend. And
what's the point?
Jesus, this guy sucks.
Get to any point?
He was all over the place.
I need a point.
I don't think there was one.
Aye,
you got a good look at the Hayward injury on my Twitter account, and all the blocks by the Time Lord, by the way.
Scott, and so you're posting Celtics highlights on your Twitter feed?
Time Lord blocks.
Oh, you green teamer.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm pumping up the greenies. Yeah.
Seriously, between you, Max, and Sousa.
Oh, yeah, then I'm going to let the air out of him in February.
God. See, you know what? If it weren't for Sousa calling to Hakeem Olajuwon, you would come in here praising the Time Lord, but now you got to sort of dial it back because you don't want to be Sousa.
It's called baiting people. That's what it's called.
Scott and Dover on the quarterback story. Go ahead, Scott.
Listen, Felga, all right? You're looking for a point. You can't handle the one I'm about to give you.
Uh-oh.
You feel me?
Yep.
Let me tell you something, though. What's up, Murray? You're the man. But Felga, Maz, let me tell you something. You guys have such a skewed perspective on football. I'm surprised you're not 0-10, Felga, in fantasy. Which, you know what? I'd put money you are because you're garbage, okay? You should go back to Wisconsin, you bum. All right, you're an absolute trash bag. You guys are 40-gallon bags of trash. That's what you are, okay? Not to mention, you wanted to hit on the point of the quarterbacks going out because of quote-unquote cheap shots. Name one this season. Name one, because I guarantee you can't. You're telling me Roethlisberger, Foles, anybody else.
How about Mason Rudolph?
What do you mean Mason Rudolph?
He got concussed. He got concussed. He missed a game.
Because of a helmet-to-helmet contact play?
Yeah.
Or something that the league defined as a helmet-to-helmet play? How about...
What's the difference?
Again, what's his name there? Patrick Mahomes. Good for him. Good for him. But serious, a dislocated kneecap, you're going to call a low blow on that?
Why are you so angry?
I don't know. It's my day off. What else am I supposed to do? You know what I mean?
Like, attaboy, okay. I'm not sure what he's saying that I said. The quarterbacks have never been more protected. Defenses have never been more afraid to hit these quarterbacks. And yet they've gone down this year like maybe no other year we've ever seen. That was just my point. So I'm not sure what he was trying
to... Well, he's saying that the injuries that we're talking about are not really the result of, you know, reckless hits.
No, they're not. No, that's just my point. So if these guys are going down in the softer, gentler, kinder NFL, what's going to happen to Lamar? How does Lamar Jackson make it? Who exposes himself more than any of these other guys.
Yeah, he does. And this was my point too earlier. He doesn't make it if it's the old NFL. But in the new NFL, I don't think you get hit like Vic got hit.
Well, but they're still getting hurt.
Okay, but again, but this is different than what we're talking about with Lamar Jackson. If Lamar Jackson blows out a knee, blows out a knee. I mean, fine. But the risk of injury for a running quarterback is not what it used to be. Steve Young got obliterated.
Oh, no question.
When he ran.
No question.
Obliterated. I mean, how many concussions did Young have?
No question.
So I just don't think that this guy is going to be susceptible to that kind of stuff because the league doesn't allow it.
Okay, let's take just a few seconds here, Maz. I want to mention Veterans Day and one other thing. The Veterans Day, I know everyone says it and does it to a cliche, but I think... on these sports shows, especially, we should pound our thanks to the veterans. And that cliche statement of you doing what you do allows us to do what we do. Because really what we do is as frivolous as it gets.
No, it's really. You can't possibly overstate that.
I mean, you know what I mean? So yeah. I feel like we in the sports world everyone owes our veterans gratitude. But I think we should be at the front of that list because we do the most trivial of things, which is just watch ball and talk about it and argue about it. And without our veterans putting us in a position to do that, we wouldn't be anywhere near being able to do what we do. So I think we in the sporting world, and I think sports do a good job, really, of highlighting it and thanking the veterans and we should, because we owe them as great a debt as anyone.
Yeah, look, there were a lot of, you know, use the word frivolous. I would say borderline meaningless things that people do as employment. Ours might be at the top of the list. And there was a period of time where, you know, veterans in this country did not get a great deal of respect and were almost looked upon with shame from time to time, depending on the era and the war, et cetera. And I don't think that's true anymore. And I think that that is a really, you know, one of the better developments we've had here in the last. I mean, we've evolved to the point where I think we understand the sacrifices that people like that make so that we can live the way we want to live.
And I always get a kick out of, like, if doing an event, or remember it happened with the us as a show, we were at South Bend for the Bruins game last year against the Blackhawks. There's always, you hear from dudes or gals that serve and, like, listen to the show, and they're, like, so thankful. And it's like, you know, just, like, hear, like, yammering about sports or just trying to crack a joke, man. Like, you know, people, like, are really reliant on those of us that do these goofy jobs. It's like, no, we should be thanking you.
I still think that the greatest thing we've ever gotten here was that flag that I want to say was in the Army. It is hanging out in the hallway here, I think, that a member of the military flew in the Middle East. It was either Afghanistan or Iraq, and I got to go read it again. It's hanging on the wall. And, you know, flew the flag in honor of the Felger and Maz show. That's like, to me, is like the nicest thing anybody has ever sent us here.
But Maz is right. When we were kids, you didn't hear people being thanked for their service, which that is new. It's disgraceful that it is new, that wasn't always the case. But we do, and everyone does, thank you for your service if you've served our country. This just one more small, not small item, but just another item, not Veterans Day related. I'll just mention it here. You've probably heard this story of the manager of the Buffalo Wild Wings in Burlington who passed away last week with just the saddest, most sickening story. His name's Ryan Baldera, Baldera, of Lawrence. He was a GM at Buffalo Wild Wings, and one of his employees had mixed some cleaning solutions to clean the Buffalo Wild Wings, and it was a toxic mix. And so the Baldera got in there to clean it up and help his employee, and ended up passing away because of it. It was just one of the worst, most tragic stories. And that Buffalo Wild Wings is next to where our studios are for NBC Sports Boston. It's right down the street. One of the regional managers there is a friend of the show and a listener of the show. And he asked me to pass along some information if you want to help donate this Ryan Baldera, who passed away, left behind a wife and a young son. just doing his job at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Burlington. Just a horrible story. So there's a GoFundMe page online for Ryan Baldera, B-A-L-D-E-R-A. Also, the Burlington Area Chamber of Commerce has set up a fund for Baldera's family. Donations can be sent to the Ryan Baldera Memorial Fund, Cambridge Savings Bank, 214 Cambridge Street in Burlington, Mass. So I just wanted to pass that along as well. All right. Final word comes your way next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, one piece of sound to get to. Sorry, Jones, got to get everything off the chair here. It's just a rehash of you and I bickering about perhaps the worst quarterback of them all in the NFL, starting for the Indianapolis Colts yesterday, getting $12 million a year from those idiots.
10 wins, divisional round.
I get it. You're dug in. I'm dug in on Garoppolo. But here it is, us yammering about.
I think you're both idiots.
Ryan Hoyer.
This coach, this schedule, this division, this team. Brian Hoyer starting 16 games for the New England Patriots at quarterback in 2019. At least go 10-6 and host a divisional game in the AFC. I'm not coming off of that because of one bad game by Brian Hoyer. And it was
one bad game?
It was wretched. It was poor. But, however, you can make the case easily that Brian Hoyer should have won his last two. If the kicker could make his kicks, if Adam Vinatieri wasn't such a basket case. Now, this is not saying that he played well. I'm not saying he's played well. I'm saying that he could easily have won these last two games if not for his kicker. And, well, just that. Just that.
He made some throws in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. Still lost. But this one is more indicative of what the Brian Hoyer experience, what you got yesterday at home against the Miami Dolphins, maybe the worst team in football, who's been playing well the last couple of weeks.
Thank you, Brian Flores. Thank you, yeah.
But 46% completion percentage and 3 interceptions at home against behind the best offensive line in football. Granted, no T.Y. Hilton, but that's inexcusable. And those a-holes paid this a-hole $12 million. What a thief. He should be jailed is really what it should be. Never mind what I think about him being a complete bum. And his resume reads the way it does for a reason, because he's a journeyman bum everywhere he's gone. But $12 million, that's criminal. To pay Brian Hoyer $12 million to back up Jacoby Brissett, crime. It's a crime. Go straight to jail.
Yeah, right. It's really an argument about Bill Belichick, not Brian Hoyer, but we can do that for another day.
Shouldn't the Colts really go to jail for paying
him? Yeah, no, it's not his fault for taking it.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Oops, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah!
on second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.